Welcome back to the Power Hour, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us, caring about your world today, and then doing something about it. I'm going to play this in honor of our guest today, Major General Retired Robert B. Newman, Jr. Whoa, I don't know what happened. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll play it a little bit later in honor of Mr. Newman. Sorry about that. Major General Robert B. Newman, USAF retired, has over 30 years of business, military, and homeland security expertise in both government and private sectors. He graduated as a distinguished aerospace graduate from the University from Virginia Military Institute in 1973. He was a cadet there. While he was a cadet, he was regimental commander of the Corps of Cadets. He got his master's degree in arts and management and public administration from Webster University. And following graduation from VMI, Mr. Newman attended the U.S. Air Force Pilot Training Program. He received his wings in December 74, assigned a 23rd Tactical Fighter Wing, flew the A-7D Corsair, and also he flew the fighter A-7D and also the F-16C Fighting Falcon in the National Guard. Following 9/11, he was mobilized and assigned to the National Guard Bureau in Washington. And we're so glad to have him join us today. Thank you so very much for joining us, Sir Major General Robert Newman. Thank you for joining us in the Power Hour today.
You bet, Joyce. Glad to be with you.
Pleasure to have you joining us today. I mean, your CV reads like, my gosh, you've done everything. You've been involved in so much in military, with military experience, government experience, homeland security experience. And yet, you know, when I read your website and you are, I didn't even mention, you know, what you are doing now, and we'll talk about that. You are Vice President and Senior Vice President and Director of Strategic Partnerships for Sarah Brim. Let's talk about what it is that is your goal and your sort of focus. What?
There we go.
Well, there we did it. There we got it. Thank you. Sorry about that, sir, but welcome to the Power Hour today.
Joyce, better late than never, and thank you for that nice thought.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. We're so glad to have you join us today, and hopefully we can get an understanding of what's taking place with regard to cybersecurity issues and also EMP, which we know to be a real issue, but yet very few people seem to understand this. And like I asked you before, your goal and focus of everything you've done, where has it brought you today, and why is it focusing on these two issues?
Well, Joyce, let me tell you that as a National Guard officer, many of your listeners might not know this, but I had 6 years of active duty, then separated from the service and came back and became a businessman in Richmond, Virginia, worked in a variety of different financial markets, and continued to fly part-time with the Air National Guard. And then my senior status happened as a sad result of the attacks on our nation back in 2001. So I was thrust from the business world into the basically homeland defense world in Washington, which was rather chaotic just after 9/11. But as things settled down and as we restored what we felt was good security to our country, it became obvious to me that homeland defense was more than just putting up gates and important installations and putting soldiers in front of airports and things such as this. You know, the world in which we live is so interconnected through the cyberspace medium that an attack on cyberspace can be an attack that could not only be quick, but it can also be fatal to our country. And as I got into more of the defenses that we were proposing back in those days, and we're talking now about 10, 12 years ago, it became obvious to me that our real vulnerability was from the cyber side. And so I kind of gravitated to that. Once I came off orders and retired from uniform service, I continued my passion for defense in the cyberspace by joining Sarah Brennan, which is a company in Suffolk, Virginia, all veterans down there, some real smart guys in network security and the like. And we're doing a lot of work with not only government agencies, but also civilian companies that recognize the vulnerability of their businesses to cyber attack. So that's how I kind of wandered into this field, but it's one that I believe we need to have more focus on, certainly, not only from the government side and regulatory requirements, and I know that's often a dirty word to say, but I think it has application to this discussion, but also from our business side, who businesses need to focus on this more than we have in the past.
What do you think is the greatest threat? Who is the greatest threat when it comes to cybersecurity, if you consider the United States being attacked?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Joyce. The statistics bear out that the greatest threat are our individual employees ourselves. Not threat that we have. There are certainly some that have the intent to do harm to a company. There's this usual disgruntled employee that's fired and he wants to get back the company. Or there's another reason to want to damage the infrastructure, cyber infrastructure of a business. So statistics say that is the number one event. But there are such a host of bad guys out in cyberspace. They range from nation-state actors, such as our friends in China and Russia, Iran, North Korea even, down to the boys and girls that probably live at home with their moms and dads and sleep in their basements and spend their days trying to hack systems. There's also criminal elements, mainly throughout South America and Eurasia, that see cybersecurity not as the national requirement, but one that brings money to them. So the list of criminal entities that pose dangers to our cyber infrastructure here in the United States is long. It is it can be distinguished as in a nation, or it can be undistinguished as some guy who's just made up his mind that he's going to do bad things to good people through the cyber world.
Who is the biggest threat to the United States then? Which country would you say is the biggest threat?
Well, it's probably a race to the top on that, but if I was forced to make a call, I think it would be China. They have, like many of the nation states, have devoted specific units, military units, to do not only espionage, but also just disruption of services. It doesn't take a trained eye to notice that a lot of the new military hardware that the Chinese have built recently resembles quite to the exact details United States hardware, from the J-20 stealth fighter all the way up to military vehicles such as armored vehicles that come out. So the Chinese are experts in not only copying our defense plans and the like for economic production, but also they are very, very prolific at sneaking in and laying low and gathering information through our networks. They probably are the tip of the spear when it comes to the ability to conduct cyber espionage.
Why is it that we seem to hear things like, well, it appears Russia did a cyber attack last week on the United States, on the, you know, the White House, the whatever, fill in the blank. But they never actually say who did it. It appears that Russia might have done it. Is this a sort of a vilifying a bad guy scenario, or do they not actually know, or do they know who are doing the cyber attacks?
George, I think that information is probably kept at levels of security higher than you and I will be able to access. So this is pure speculation. But I would say that we know that certain attacks, whether it's the instance you just referenced of hacking into the White House schedule, or whether it's an attack on a military system. You might recall that the U.S. Central Command had its Facebook page hacked not long ago. We are able to, with great certainty, narrow the focus to a relatively few suspects. But from my cockpit and where I see out there, it's often difficult to turn around and say, this unit of this military organization in this country conducted this attack. I think that there are ways to mask this that are intentional, and also the very character and nature of the Internet itself is very anonymous. It's hard to come back. You can screen servers, you can screen Internet protocols, so that it's difficult to actually attribute any attack to any one person. And then, of course, there's the super secrecy that the enemy imposes on its units itself. That makes sure they don't broadcast a cyber unit that is trying to engage in cyber espionage with other countries. You know, that's pretty secret information. So it's difficult to directly attribute an attack to any one nation state, certainly any one unit. But I think that it's getting more and more our ability to do this with more clarity and more focus is increasing. But from what I know, we still cannot quite pinpoint this yet. But our suspicions are probably founded upon facts that give us the ability to assess blame, at least on a country from which these attacks emanate.
Well, the United States has been accused of the Stuxnet virus of perhaps creating its own problems in a cyber warfare scenario. I mean, is it fair to accept the fact? I mean, should we accept the fact that probably every country, every sophisticated country and non-sophisticated country is probably doing cyber warfare on other countries?
Without a doubt. And I think the level of degree is something that we might speculate about, but I think that it's safe to say that every country is involved, every modern country is involved in this. You know, espionage is as old as man's first wars, I think, and certainly cyber espionage is part of today's world.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
all right.
Other stuff. Sorry.
We've got a 4-minute break. We'll be back with our guest today, retired Major General, 2-star Robert B. Newman Jr. Stay. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thank you so very much for joining us. It is 24 minutes after the hour. Joining us today, retired Major General. He was a pilot. He was in Homeland Security. He was the Deputy Homeland Security Advisor in Virginia and former General of Virginia. And he focuses on the cyber events. We're going to talk about EMP in just a second. And he is with the Sarah Brin Company. Sarah Brin, SERA-BRYNN.com. And one of the first things you see when you go to that website is the world's hottest security companies. And you have 500 of the world's hottest security companies. And my question is, sir, with all these security companies and with all these things that are taking place, defensive posture, offensive posture, whatever, why are we still having all of these cyber attacks when there's 500 companies out there doing their best to stop it?
I think in the cyber world that we live, there will never be enough cyber companies to help, cybersecurity companies to help stem the tide. There are too many eager beavers out there on the criminal side or on the national front too that find not only the convenience, the economics, very low cost to get involved in cyber espionage and cyber work. You're just going to see this continue to proliferate, but the biggest drive on this is going to be the effects. You're able with smart people to penetrate defenses. You know, in Joyce, in years past, you'll remember the Norton antivirus and all the upgrades that we were constantly loading our system. I think those of us in the cyber business have come to recognize that you are not going to stop a dedicated, determined cyber bandit from penetrating your system. What we've acknowledged at Sarah Brin is that will probably happen to literally everyone. The question is, can you stop them from exfiltrating information from your system or doing damage to it? So you're going to see cybersecurity companies continue to proliferate. You're going to have different themes on which they operate, but I think the important point is that as long as there are bad people doing bad things to our cyber networks, the business will grow. It's just a question of how you defend the important and critical information that you contain in your networks against these bad guys that either want to shut you down or just to steal information.
So what is the primary focus of Sarah Brin? What do they do on a day-to-day basis?
We do a couple of things. We focus on identifying weaknesses in systems through what we call pen tests, penetration tests. We go into systems, and for a fee, we play bad guys, and we look at vulnerabilities in these systems and find out where bad guys can penetrate and take information out. Now, it's important to note, Joyce, that we are one of about 150 organizations or companies in the United States, only 150, known as a QSA, a Qualified Security Assessor. And I liken this to a CPA in the financial markets. We have certain standards which we must achieve and maintain, not only for our training for our engineers, but also for those that the types of assessments that we're able to do. So as a QSA, when we do a pen test, we look at it in a different way than other companies that might just be a cyber company. So the penetration test is one side, and the other is monitoring of networks. You know, this is an important part that quite often companies will say, we don't need that. We'll just let that stay aside and save the money. But what we did find is that those that monitor their systems, that take a look at it when there's an anomaly in that system. It pops up in Sarah Brin's network, and we alert our clients and say, hey, this looks like this is strange. This hasn't been something you guys have been doing, or this employee normally doesn't access these files, or there's a tremendous amount of downloading going. That type of activity that alerts our system to the fact that this is different. So then we're able to stop it, and then to do our forensics, our engineers get in and find out why this happened. Now, it could be a very reasonable and logical explanation. Maybe somebody has a big report due Monday and they're downloading on a weekend. But it also could be something like an Edward Snowden incident where somebody is downloading and exfiltrating information. Bradley Manning incident.
Oh, uh-huh.
He was just taking information out. We would have caught that. And so those are the two things that we do, Joyce. We do penetration uh-huh. tests to identify vulnerabilities, then we do network monitoring so that we're able to ensure that we see anything that's different in the system, and then alert our clients to that fact.
And, of course, we're all aware of things like Target and the other kind of Starbucks being attacked. But one thing I want to mention, which is, to me, it is a real critical issue, is Chris Roberts, a security researcher with One World Labs, last week was in an interview with the FBI. He says that he made a plane fly sideways during a flight. Plane fly sideways because he hacked into the in-flight entertainment system. We'll be back after this 3-minute break with our guest today, retired Major General Robert Newman. Let's talk about this incident. We'll be back. 3 minutes. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thank you so very much for joining us. We're going to get to EMP in just a second, but I want to remind you to please purchase from the Power Mall. That's how we stay on the air so nobody tells us what to say. ThePowerMall.com. General Robert B. Newman, Jr. today, Senior Vice President, Director of Strategic Partnerships of Sarah Brin. And I was talking before the break about the gentleman who has admitted to interfering with flight. His name is, I believe, Chris Roberts. And he said that over the past few years, he has done this 15 times during various flights. Now, this is not to be confused with fly-by-wire or Boeing uninterruptible autopilot, but that he was able to hack in to the entertainment network on the aircraft. And one would think, sir, one would think, General, that by now we might have heard of 15 times that a plane had been commandeered. Do we just not hear about these things to protect us, or what is the reason?
Joyce, I wish I knew. I can tell you that those are very scary scenarios to even imagine, much less have in practical real-world terms, as this gentleman is claiming. I know the FAA is taking this threat seriously. They have come out and said that they have examined the systems and that they feel that they are cyber secure as much as they can be in today's world, I guess. But there is that level of insecurity in any cyber system, as I mentioned earlier. Nothing is pure anymore. We are able, if we are determined to penetrate any cyber network. So it doesn't surprise me that some dedicated
person has gotten in there and either hacked its way into the movies of a 777 flying across the pond, or simply what concerns me, taking over the aircraft. Of course, you know, there's so many systems that are driven in the cyber world on board these aircrafts. And then when you get into the final phase of the landing, you know, the instrument landing systems, the ILS, the control tower, the radar, all of these issues are very, very critical to safety of flight. So any story like this gets my attention for sure as an aviator, and causes me concern. And to answer your question as to why we haven't heard more about it is anyone's guess. I'm hoping that we haven't heard because it's been fixed, but I suspect that's not the case.
I'd like to think so. And, of course, the appropriate word here is he claims to have done that. I don't know that it is or is not, but there's actually a lot of pilots who have started saying that perhaps there was some fly-by-wire or Boeing uninterruptible autopilot issues with the German Wings plane also, that it may have been, the flight may have been altered by that. And I don't know. I mean, there are people that talk about 9/11 having been something similar to that also. So there's all kinds of information out there, but we just don't seem to hear relative to anything other than everything's fine, don't worry about it, and go about your business. I want to move to EMP now, because this is, you know, even Fox News got involved in Judge Jeanine. I was shocked when she said, this is a huge problem, why don't we know about it? And she's screaming that on the air. Let's talk about EMP, what your definition of it is, and where we are with protecting ourselves.
I got involved in EMP through Speaker Newt Gingrich's efforts back in the late 90s. Many of your listeners, and perhaps you've read the book One Second After, that talks about the devastation that an electronic magnetic pulse can do to our power systems.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Paramol began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores are love to eat. Yum!
Also, that it may have been, the flight may have been altered by that. And I don't know. I mean, there are people that talk about 9/11 having been something similar to that also. So there's all kinds of information out there, but we just don't seem to hear relative to anything other than everything's fine, don't worry about it, and go about your business. I want to move to EMP now because this is, you know, even Fox News got involved in Judge Jeanine. I was shocked when she said, this is a huge problem. Why don't we know about it? And she's screaming that on the air. Let's talk about EMP and what your definition of it is and where we are with protecting ourselves.
I got involved in EMP through Speaker Newt Gingrich's efforts back in the late 90s. Many of your listeners, and perhaps you've read the book One Second After, that talks about the devastation that an electronic magnetic pulse can do to our power systems. I got involved in it, Joyce, when I was doing some consulting work in Huntsville, Alabama, back in, I believe it was 2011. There was a line of tornadoes that came through Huntsville and throughout Alabama, devastating the countryside. But what got my attention and the reason I was down there is that it had devastated the power grid. I think they had somewhere north of 300 high tension powers lines that were supports for power lines that were damaged, and northern Alabama was devastated. Now, the reason I was down there is the Army Space and Missile Defense Command is headquartered there in Huntsville. And they do a lot of work supporting our armed forces over in the war zones in Afghanistan and Iraq, some stuff with signal intelligence and things such as that. And they were very concerned because they had power through their backup generators, but they were running out of diesel fuel for those generators. So what we were looking at is the way to make them resilient, and they could continue on in a variety of different ways. But what that brought to my attention was studying was the devastating effect that an EMP or any event of significance that could shut down the power grid would have not only on our military's ability to project power at will, but also just on society in general to be able to live. You know, refrigerators stop working, so food spoils. No medicine is available. You can't drive your car. Some would be inoperable because of an EMP and the damage it does to the electronic circuits in the modern cars. Others would just not have gas. Sure, there'd be fuel in your 7-Eleven or your local gas station, but you wouldn't be able to pump it because there'd be no power for the pumps. So that's what got me involved in EMP, and the more I got into it, working with some really, really smart and terrifically dedicated people that are singing the song, but no one seems to be listening at the national government. And part of it is because of industry, their reluctance to engage this, partly because of dollars and cents, and partly because I honestly think they feel that they've got it covered. But it's a tremendous vulnerability to our country. Our enemies know it. They have plans and tactics and procedures to take advantage of that, and it won't take much to shut out the United States from any ability to produce power and electricity, which basically would be a death knell to our country.
Well, if you have been involved in this, and I forget if you said since 1990 or the late 1990s, I don't know which one you said, with Newt Gingrich, what has been done since the problem was identified in the 1990s? What has been done to ameliorate the situation?
There have been congressionally mandated studies on this that have borne out the facts as I told you. As a matter of fact, what I've spoken about, I quote from these congressional studies. There have been studies done by the by independent agencies that come up and say that we are vulnerable to an electronic magnetic attack, or Joyce, the other side that is inevitable. You know, you can dispute the fact that our enemies will use an EMP on us, but the sun emits solar flares regularly, and some of these storms, if significant in strength, can have the same effect, emitting huge amounts of electronic magnetic waves that would devastate our power grid as well. I think the last storm of significance has happened to hit the United States was back in 1859. It was studied by, I believe, an English physicist named Sir Carrington. It was Mr. Carrington over in England, so it's named in his honor. Called the Carrington effect, but the electronic magnetic waves were so powerful that it devastated the telegraph system, caused wires to catch fire and things such as this. Experts have speculated that should another emission hit the United States in the same frequency and severity as the Carrington effect, that it would take out the entire power grids of certain regions of the country. So that is inevitable. That will happen. It's not an if, but when on that side. And so it's important that we take advantage of the knowledge we have. And it's interesting, Joyce, we're not talking tremendous sums of money here to ensure that our power grid is resilient and can continue to function from either an EMP attack or a solar flare. But yet it's just another question of leadership and prioritization of funding in Washington.
Well, it's kind of like they do studies, they do lots of studies, and they spend millions of dollars on the studies, just like they did with Gulf War illness, you know, I mean, NIH and the DOD, and they did millions and millions of dollars on Gulf War illness and found out, well, there really isn't one. And so it seems that we have a government that does the studies, whether they find the problem or not, they're not going to tell us, and then we have no solution to the problem. So the only thing I can accept at this point is that it is all by agenda. In other words, if it's not a money issue, a monetary issue, like you just said, then we are sitting here with this problem, this huge problem, whether it be from the sun or the alleged ISIS group or whatever, we're sitting here waiting for it to happen. Am I correct?
You're exactly right. And we have information, intelligence from our enemies that this is something that they plan to use against us. You look around, I don't think an EMP in North Korea would do much to devastate their society. I doubt they would even know it occurred. But when you look at something that's as connected as we are, cyber-wise, of course, electric-wise, everything is just so interwoven in our systems. It wouldn't take a rocket scientist, pardon the pun there, to understand that the cheapest, most effective way to devastate the United States would be through an electronic magnetic pulse that would take down the power grid and render us helpless as a nation.
So what would be the reason for them saying, okay, we've got this huge problem here in 1990, we know it, it is a major problem. I mean, if you look at the Carrington event in the 1800s, that was big, but it would only magnify now. What is the reason then, do you think, for stopping the solution side of this equation and for continuing to make the problem known but not doing anything to change it.
Joyce, I think that leadership is the real key in this, but let's get real on this. And we're talking about leadership out of Washington, and we all know they respond to the voters or to dollars in their lobby pools. And there's an organization called FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And FERC is charged with ensuring the regulation and supply, constant supply of electricity throughout our country. They work in partnership with an organization called NERC, the North American Electric Reliability Corporation. Now, in, these two organizations are supposed to assess ways to make our power more effective, more efficient, and implement those assessments. But I think what happened is it's a poorly constructed system. FERC is a regulatory agency. NERC is comprised of the electric utilities throughout the country. And NERC is the organization that is in, empowered to actually force the their members, but the utilities throughout the country, to comply with the standards that FERC has mandated. So this is a little confusing, but in essence, FERC would assess that a vulnerability exists. Then NERC, the organization containing utilities, would do their own study and say, well, we don't agree. We think that we're pretty good on that, so we're not going to enforce those regulations. Perfect example has just come up that recently, where after a year of study, FERC and NERC were working together on solar storms. This is something that's starting to grow in acceptance as a real danger to our power grid. And after a year of study, they both agree that, that we need to take action to ensure that our utilities can withstand a solar effect of, and I'm not an engineer, but X amount of energy coming to it to make sure that our power grid continues to perform. So here's what's happened. FERC and NERC agree on that, and NERC comes back and says, what we're going to do is we are going to require every utility to assess their vulnerabilities and to take proper action to protect against a surge from the sun. If you do not pass the assessment, your own assessment, then you've got to make steps to come forward. And I don't know if there's a time frame, but I don't think there was. But you're going to have to come up to speed on this. So here we've got something that says, yes, I recognize I have a vulnerability, and yeah, I'm going to get to it when I can. Now, forgive my very low-based analysis of this, but it points to the fact that there doesn't seem to be any urgency from the utility industry to really make this happen. Part of it is cost, and part of it, I think, is just the fact that they honestly feel that their engineers tell them they're fine. But if you look at the Congressional Commission on EMP that was chaired by Dr. Peter Pry and other noted physicists and electrical engineers, they point to the fact that there is a vulnerability out there, and we need to fix it. And I think that part of the problem is Washington. A bigger part of the problem is the relationship that FERC and NERC have in trying to find solutions to these dilemmas.
So we have a potential catastrophic event that might be coming our way, and because these two organizations are been given some kind of responsibility here, we're supposed to believe that, oh, well, somebody's doing something about it. I mean, this is craziness, because we've got not only catastrophic or apocalyptic looking at us, but you've got a government who says either, you know, hear no evil, see no evil. They don't see anything happening, so nobody's, I mean, it just doesn't. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thank you so very much for joining us. Our guest had mentioned the book One Second After, and William Fortune will be a guest on the program coming up in the near future, so just stay tuned for that. Our guest today is Major General retired Robert B. Newman, Jr., and you had a response to our last caller before we go to the call, sir.
Well, Joyce, I was just noting that the hydro side of it there is something that is certainly reliable from a Black Start capability, and I know that we need to look more towards these redundant type of power systems. It's just I think we have such a small portion of power generated from hydro here in the United States. It's something that should be examined, but it doesn't seem to be a value to our power companies now.
Okay, and yeah, it seems like none of the solutions seem to be of value to anyone. I mean, I really am wondering, what are they trying to set up here? Or are they as impotent as they say they are? Let's go to Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, you're on the air with Mr. Newman. Go ahead, please.
Yes, General, this is more of a comment. I really don't think they want to do anything about it because it, the powers that be are so non-responsive to the people and getting so worried that this is a perfect control deal. I think they could even fake a CMA or a problem with a computer. The computers, because mm-hmm. it's a control mechanism of the people. I mean, you really will keep people from moving around if this happens.
Well, you would have to accept the fact then that they want control over the people. Do you believe that, Sherry?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Newman, your response?
Sherry's comment is scary. I've heard it echoed from other points of the country as well. I hope Sherry's wrong, but certainly it's a possibility. I can tell you that some of the Islamic cells that are planted in the United States, we all know that they're around here, would certainly relish the opportunity to have chaos and social disorder in the United States and would provide them an opportunity to move out and quickly establish their presence here in areas that that would be most vulnerable to an EMP. So, Sherry, your comment is a scary one, and I'm going to lose sleep tonight because of it.
Well, and we have to accept that those Islamic groups that are in the United States also have been funded by the United States government in the past also. Let's go to, thank you, Sherry, for the phone call. Let's go to Roman in Illinois. Roman, you're on the air. Go ahead, please. Question or comment for Mr. Newman?
Yes, good morning. I'm going to try and be fast, General Newman. I heard and read about this stuff all the way to the EMP when I was in high school, about 1960, 1959.
Wow.
And they've changed a lot since then. Now, my question is like this. Can you give some outline? How do you protect that gigantic grid system that's out there? Plus, how do you protect your automobiles? You know, everything's got all the electronics on it. Anyhow, what's the theory behind protecting yourself from the electromagnetic pulse wave?
Okay, thank you. Very good question, sir. Your response?
Roman, there are two ways, as I understand it, and I must, in full disclosure, say that I am not an electrical engineer, but I will tell you that shielding is one important part. Actually, putting devices that would shield the car parts or the power grid or substations or what have you from this tremendous surge of electricity, this over voltage of it. The other side is to have surge protectors in that actually are circuit breakers that kick off when this huge surge of electricity hits.
Good answers. Those are good solution items, action items. Thank you so much, Mr. Newman, for joining us. General Newman, retired, for joining us on the Power Hour today. It's been a pleasure, and let's find an answer to this. My question is, who is culpable for this, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you so much, General Newman, for joining us in the Power Hour today.
Thank you very much, Joyce.
You have a blessed day. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. Caring about your world, doing the next right and honorable thing for you and your family. And there's, you know, somebody has asked me, well, many of the listeners have asked me, what are your 10 most important products that you cannot live without? And every once in a while, I'll give you one of those. Well, today, it is obviously, without a doubt, the clay, the detox clay that we promote here at the Power Hour for a lot of reasons. But I cannot imagine not having it around. I must use it, I don't know, several times a week. And we're really pleased to have joining us today Perrier, who wrote the book, which is called Living Clay, Nature's Own Miracle Cure, Calcium Bentonite Clay, and how to cure 101 ailments with calcium bentonite clay. It's all in the book, which is a must, because you're never going to be able to remember all this information. I can't remember it from day to day. So that's why we have Perrier join us quite often to remind us on how to use this clay and to get the benefit from it. Thank you so much, Perrier, for joining us in the Power Hour today.
Well, it's good to be back with you, Joyce.
Wonderful to have you join us, because you always have such incredible information and testimonies. But, you know, one of the things that I'm always asked about is, how does the clay work? And there is some little secret thing that clay does that's really not that much of a secret. It's not that special, but it's what clay is and how it works. And I'd like for you, if you don't mind, to explain what is calcium bentonite clay and why the effectiveness of it.
Okay, I would love to. I love talking about this. Well, calcium bentonite clay is volcanic ash that's evolved over millions of years, and it's come to a state that calcium bentonite clays are your healing clays. They adsorb and absorb. But I want you to imagine the clay particle as a little tiny thin business card, microscopically thin. And in between each card on either side are these negative charges. It's like a little negative magnet, many, many, many little negative charges on the inside between each layer, the top side and the bottom side. Now, when you add water to it, these layers expand and swell, and the water runs between the layers. Now, you were talking about Monsanto and the baddies. Well, our bodies have baddies, some caused by Monsanto, pesticides, chemicals that get in our bodies, our toxins, our viruses, our mold, our yeast, our fungus. When our bodies get run down and overloaded because we're not eating right and doing right, our immune systems weaken, and then we get very susceptible to things. Well, clay is not a drug. It's just a magnet carrying out the waste. You drink it, it goes through, it starts in the mouth, and all the way through your system, it's looking for these baddies, which are positive charged. And it just swooshes them with this strong negative magnetism, because they're a positive charge, sucks them right in between those layers, carries them out of the body. Now, the beauty of clay is it has a 50-year lifespan, so it's not going to let go of those baddies for a while. It keeps them, they just go to prison. Just say that's what happens. They disappear. Now, when you get all this out of your body, you've lightened the workload on your liver and your kidneys. And so it's important not only to take it internally, but to drink the take the clay bath, because toxins that are already stored in your body in the soft tissues and the joints, the clay particle is too large to pass through the colon wall, so it does not affect that. But the clay bath, again, you're floating in this negative charge that literally pulls these toxins out through the pores of your skin. We've had people with high heavy metal count, lead, mercury, arsenic, and all these things that start taking the clay baths. And in 3 months' time, with 2 to 3 clay baths a week, their levels are at zero. Some are more, mercury sometimes gets more deeply sequestered, and you may need to take it a little longer or do it periodically to make sure you stay clean. Now, when we're talking about these negative charge and these little business cards, if you were to take the little microscopic cards in 1/4 of a teaspoon of clay, that's 1 gram, and lay them out side by side, the surface area would cover to the 20-yard line of a football field. That's in 1/4 of a teaspoon. So if you're using a teaspoon of clay to 2 ounces of water, you're going to have a surface area as big as to the 80-yard line on the football field.
Wow.
That's a lot of magnetic charge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the clay captures this stuff and carries it out, it frees the body's energy. It gets these toxins out. If we were toxin-free, we'd be healthy as everything. It's when we're burdened that our immune system loses energy and stamina, and we become susceptible to all these things.
You know, let me just say that we had Dr. Edward Group on. We had Gary Null on, Dr. Gary Null. We've had lots of people talking about, and Dr. Sherry Rogers talking about, the problem is too many toxins in the body. Now, Dr. Group approaches it from the standpoint of doing cleanses, doing a liver cleanse, doing a kidney cleanse, etc. But it's the whole idea, though, is diminishing or removing the toxins from the body. And I don't see any more functional way to do it than with the calcium bentonite clay. So I'd just like to, even to make it even more simple for people like me, when I ingest liquid clay, if I are to take a gulp of liquid clay or spoonful or whatever, and I don't recommend that you get your lips on the bottle because oftentimes the enzymes and contamination, etc. But, I mean, if you do take it right out of the bottle, just, you know, don't put you know, don't touch it. When I take that tablespoon or 2 tablespoons of liquid clay, what starts to happen as it goes down my throat and into my system? You mentioned the 80 football fields or, you know, yeah, the incredible amount of surface area that it touches. But what is happening to, if I have toxins in my body, which obviously I do, what is happening?
It's drawing the toxins to the clay, and it starts in the mouth. We have bacteria in our gums and our teeth. If you'll kind of swish it around a little before you drink it, it goes down and it's grabbing all these toxins. And along the way, clay has a 9.7 pH, so it's balancing your acidity. Most of us this day and time are over acidic, and this is another thing that wears on our body because stress can cause it, the way we eat, our lifestyle, and the acidity really needs to be balanced. Well, the clay's 9.7 pH takes care of that. I'm sorry, you don't need any special water. You can't get any better than 9.7. But clay is homeostatic, and it wants to bring it into balance. It's all about balancing the body, and a balanced body is designed to heal itself.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.